Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 112 on May 2nd, 2020. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on the Cheesecake Factory, Lyft, and Wells Fargo, and then we discuss three new trades on Eldorado Resorts Incorporated, Coca-Cola, and Pfizer. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now this week, the equity market started off strong but lost their gains by the end of the week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 51 points this week, closing at 23,723 points. The S&P 500 index lost 6 points this week, ending at 2,830 points on Friday. We haven't seen a week-over-week change this small since the very first week of January 2020. So even though we had a lot of volatility during the week, it tended to kind of slacked off week-over-week and just ended up being somewhat unchanged. So now it's time to take a look at the topic of the week. And this week, we're going to look at a topic I probably should have spoken about a while ago, given the name of this show, and that is weekly options. So on this show, we typically discuss monthly options that expire the third Friday of each month. Many of the active stocks, however, have regular monthly options and weekly options available. And you've probably seen that when you've tried to execute some of the trades. So the advent of weekly options years ago created so many opportunities. And a few weeks ago, we discussed the importance of time in option trading. Well, if there's one thing we humans truly don't value well, it's time. There's typically a huge focus on short or near-term things, while we tend to undervalue longer-term items. And that's still going to be true in option pricing as well. So there are times when you can comfortably sell weekly options and just buy the monthly option as a hedge. So you never really even have to use the underlying. You can use option per option as a hedge and just have different time frames. And if both options expire into the same stock position, meaning you do them on the same company, then one can be used to offset the risk of another. You can also use weekly options to finance the cost of owning a longer-term position. There are a number of strategies that can create it from mixing expirations. So you can end up in a scenario where maybe you want a longer-term, you want the monthly option. We're in May right now. May's going to expire in 2 weeks. So really, I'll just focus on June. So let's say you want to take on a position in the month of July. Well, between now and July expiration, there's 8 weeks. That means there might actually be 8 weekly option opportunities where you could buy in July. You're going to pay a little bit of a premium because it has more time, which that additional time allows you more opportunity, or really more time for the option to end up in the money. So because of that, you're going to pay a little bit more. So you buy the July and you end up selling each of these weekly options, shorter term time frames. Now, the biggest thing that you have to be aware of as well as time is the strike values. And so if you are, let's say your July position is a 25 strike and you're selling the 20, let's say you're selling a little bit more out of the money strike or even the same strike in the weeklies, as long as you can exercise that July position at any point to cover your weekly option position, you probably have a chance to make some money. And that's just one of the strategies that people use that I've used in option trading, those weekly options versus the monthly options. So there are so many strategies that can be created, once again, from just mixing up the expirations of the options on the same stock. So if this is something that you're interested in learning more about, send me an email. I'll be putting together a small class in a couple of weeks to discuss weekly options. Just email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com for more information. Now let's get into the trade review from last week. And even though the stock market didn't move much, some of these equities did. So we'll start off with the covered call. We looked at the Cheesecake Factory, symbol C as in Charlie, A as in Alpha, K as in Kilo, E as in Echo. Stock at the time was trading for $18.59 per share. I looked at buying that stock and selling the May 20 call at $1.05, hoping for a max return of 13.23% in 3 weeks. Well, Cheesecake Factory stock rose $1.54 this week, closing at $20.13 per share. The at-the-money call that we sold is now in the money by 13 cents. The option picked up 70 cents in value, leaving us with a net profit on the trade of 84 cents if you were to close it out today, meaning if you sold the stock and were to buy the option back in. Of course, if you hold on to the trade through expiration in 2 weeks, with stock trading above $20 per share, you will earn a total of $2.46 profit on the trade. So that's nearly three times the amount of return just for holding the trade for two more weeks. Now, there are obviously factors that make this more or less worthwhile, but it's certainly something to take a look at, something to consider. You don't always want to hold a position until expiration, which option theory says that you should. There can be situations where that's not the case, but most of the time I would agree with them, because, and this is the perfect example, the near-term profit would be 84 cents if you closed it out today. If you can hang on two more weeks, you get $2.46 on the trade. So for this week, this covered call strategy worked pretty well. Let's move on to the other two trades for the week where I got a little more banged up. So first, we're going to look at the credit spread. I looked at Lyft, which is the competitor of Uber. Lyft has symbol L as in Lima, Y as in Yankee, F as in Foxtrot, T as in Tango. The stock at the time ended the week at $31.96, and we looked at just selling the May 31 half 31 put spread at 19 cents, which can give us a maximum possible loss of 31 cents per spread. Well, shares to Lyft fell $2.35 this week, ending at $29.61 per share. The out-of-the-money put spread we sold is now fully in the money. Now, you can buy the spread back for 50 cents, locking in a loss of 31 cents. There's really no reason to do this, just like I was just saying. Over the next 2 weeks, if the stock price rises again, and it looks like it still could when I look at a chart, you have a possibility that this spread will finish out of the money. Now, the way I would typically offset a loss is to sell the higher strike call spread against it. However, in this scenario, there isn't much premium left in the higher call spreads, and that's mostly because there's only 2 weeks left in this trade. So adding additional trades could actually lead to a guaranteed loss beyond the 31 cents that we've lost so far. Now, like I said, I'm still expecting the stock to head higher over the next 2 weeks. So while I'm tempted to sell, you know, the May 29 half 29 put spread at 18 cents to offset some of our loss, I'm not totally certain that I wouldn't just be adding another 32 cent loss onto the plate. So selling a put spread against selling a put spread is not actually a hedge that's doubling down, right? And so you can end up in a scenario where you lose, where you not only double down your profit, but you double down on the possibility of risk. So some days it's just best to walk away. And I'm not ready to walk away from this trade at all. We already are at our maximum possible loss. That's the beauty of trading spreads. We know what our maximum loss is. So we're there right now, but there's still time in this trade for it to turn around. And I'm going to hold on to it a little longer because each day gives additional information. And I'm not convinced that this stock is going to stay where it is over the next 2 weeks. So that's it for the credit spread on Lyft. Now let's take a look at the debit spread on Wells Fargo that we had discussed. So we looked at Wells Fargo, symbol W as in whiskey, F as in Foxtrot, C as in Charlie. At the time, the stock was trading for $26.92 per share. And I looked at buying the May 27 half 27 put spread for paying 34 cents for the spread, which gives us a maximum possible gain of 16 cents or a 47% return in 3 weeks. Well, Wells Fargo stock rose this week. It rose 67 cents per share, finishing up at $27.59. The in-the-money put spread we bought is now at the money. So not completely out of the money, it's right at the money. The spread is now trading for 15 cents, which is a loss of 19 cents on the week because we paid 34 cents for the spread. Now, while I expect prices to head lower again over the next 2 weeks, some people might be tempted to take the loss and go. And I totally understand that. Once again, you have to trade for your risk sensitivity, right? Some people oftentimes will say like, okay, well, if I know all of Eric's trades, or if I know all of Goldman Sachs trades, or if I know all of these other traders' trades, then I'm going to be able to trade the same way. That's not the case, because we all are trading different sized accounts. We all have different personalities. And honestly, we all carry different baggage into the marketplace. So for me, I'd rather wait another day. Every day that passes gives me one more bit of information, and it's all, and it gives me an idea of whether this stock is going to end up moving in the direction that I ultimately think it is. And I like my odds with this Wells Fargo trade, so I'm going to hold off just a little while, maybe a day or two, and see how that looks. If it turns out that the stock is going to head lower and head lower, then I might actually go ahead and close it early and just look for an offsetting trade to get back my loss of 19 cents. That should be easy enough, but I still believe in this trade, so I'm going to stay in a little bit longer and see how it goes. So that's it for the trades of the week. Now, we're going to look at a few more trades that expire in May, and these trades have increased risk due to the small amount of time, right? So if we put these trades on, you only have 2 weeks until expiration. May expiration is on May the 15th, which is two Fridays from now. So you won't have any time to make adjustments. Again, if this does not fit your risk parameters, definitely just use it as an education versus anything else, because this is sort of one and done. And at the beginning of this show, I used to be more willing to trade stocks that would expire in 1 week. And sometimes you get some fantastic gains, you know, especially on selling a spread with 1 week left before expiration. But I also ended up in several scenarios where all I was doing was locking in a loss. So I don't do the 1 week option. So for next week's show, we'll definitely be fully into June. But this week, I figured we'd do one more week of trades in May just to see how it goes. So we're going to start off with the covered call, looking at El Dorado Resorts Incorporated, symbol ERI, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo, I as in India. The stock ended the week at $18.84 per share. I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the May 20 call at $1.40 against it, hoping for a maximum return of 13.5% in 2 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying ERI stock for $18.84 per share and selling the May 20 call at $1.40. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $20 per share, and the break-even price on this trade is $17.44. In real terms, the stock purchase would require $1,884, and you would collect $140 for selling the option. Our second trade on the week is going to be a credit spread. We're looking at Coca-Cola, and this is one of those big boy names that a lot of times the options are priced so efficiently or so effectively that they don't offer a lot of opportunity as the, you know, per the way I look at option trading. So I'm happy when one of them pops up. So Coca-Cola, symbol KO, kilo, K as in kilo, O as in Oscar. The stock ended the week trading for $45.60 per share. I'm looking at just selling the May 46 46.5 call spread at 15 cents, which can give us a maximum possible loss of 35 cents per spread. Now, you enter this trade by selling the May 46 call at 94 cents and concurrently buying the May 46.5 call for 79 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $46 per share. The break-even price is $46.15. And you would, in real terms, you would receive $15 per spread that you sell, and you would have $35 per spread at risk. And then our final trade on the week is going to be our debit spread. And this week, decided to go towards that pharmaceutical company. Obviously, the world is in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, and so it's a good time to take a look at some of the pharmaceutical companies and see if there are any opportunities that you like. So this week I'm looking at Pfizer, symbol P as in Papa, F as in Foxtrot, E as in Echo, PFE. Stock ended the week at $37.62 per share. And I'm looking at buying the May 37.5 call spread, paying 35 cents for this spread, which gives us a maximum gain of 15 cents or a 42.86% return in 2 weeks. And one of the things I like about the stock, if you look at this stock, it's just kind of creeping higher. So I feel comfortable buying an in-the-money call spread for this. So you enter this trade by buying the May 37 call for $1.15 per share, and then concurrently selling the May 37.5 call at 80 cents. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $37.50 per share. The break-even price for the trade is $37.35. And in real terms, you will pay $35 to enter this spread, and your maximum gain is $15 per spread. So that is it for this week's show. Thank you guys so much for listening and following me along on this journey. Like I said, I'm going to be hosting a class on weekly options in a couple of weeks. So if that's something that interests you, shoot me an email. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's Eric with a C, eric@theweeklyoption.com. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and as usual, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.